is tested by a bitter trial. When the tempter tries to tempt me in my way, or when darkness dreary falls upon my journey, then Jesus gives a very special grace, a very special grace in the time of my trouble, a very special grace just to see me through. My heartaches, and Jesus wants to give this very special grace to you. Oh, I know that I am never, never worthy, for my sins demand that I be punished too. But I know that Jesus took my place on Calvary, and that His very special grace will see me through. My trouble, a very special grace just to see me through, a very special grace that will heal all my heartaches, and Jesus wants to give this very special grace to you. And Jesus wants to give this very special grace to you.
Amen. Thank you for that special. The Lord never said we wouldn't have go through hard times, but He did promise us grace and strength to get us through. And then that almost makes us thankful to go through it, that we know that special grace, and we get a deeper glimpse of just who He is. But it's not my turn to preach. So Genesis chapter 50, if you would please stand with me when you find Genesis, and then the last chapter, chapter 50. Or you can go to the book of Exodus, go one page backwards, and you're there. Genesis chapter 50. When you find your place there, if you'll look down with me to the 15th verse. Genesis 50, verse number 15. I'll read aloud as you follow along there in your copy of the Word of God. This is what the Bible says in verse 15. And when Joseph's brethren saw that their father was dead, they said, "Joseph will peradventure hate us, and will certainly requite us all the evil which we did unto him." And they sent a messenger unto Joseph, saying, "Thy father did command before he died, saying, So shall ye say unto Joseph, Forgive, I pray thee now, the trespass of thy brethren and their sin. For they did eat unto thee evil. And now, we pray thee, forgive the trespass of the servants of the God of thy father." And Joseph wept when they spake unto him. And his brethren also went and fell down before his face. And they said, "Behold, we be thy servants." And Joseph said unto them, "Fear not, for am I in the place of God? But as for you, ye thought evil against me, but God meant it unto good, to bring to pass, as it is this day, to save much people alive. Now therefore fear ye not, I will nourish you and your little ones." And he comforted them and spake kindly unto them. Our Father, we come before you as a church seeking that you would meet with us, that you would do something in our hearts that you haven't done before. Ask you to be with Pastor Becker as he preaches. Lord, use him in a mighty way. Give him the words to say. Lead him with your spirit and give him liberty as he preaches to us this morning. Lord, we ask that all the singing and everything, that it be glorifying and honoring to you. But most importantly, Lord, help us to open our hearts even now. And Lord, if there's one in here that doesn't know you as their personal Savior, they don't know that they would go to heaven, may they make that decision today. And Lord, may you work in our hearts. We love you. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. Thank you. You may be seated. Keep your Bibles open to this passage here in Genesis chapter 50. Very familiar story, I'm sure, to most of you, about the story of Joseph. And Joseph was an incredible man of God that God used to show us in the Word of God about a subject we're going to talk about this morning, a subject of forgiveness. Forgiveness, something that everyone is going to have to deal with in your life, of evil or wrong that's been done to you and your decision on what you do with what's been done to you. Everyone in here has the stories to tell. Everyone has a past. Everyone has a history. Not just the things that have been done to you, but can I remind you of things that we've done to others? Many times we try to hold other people to a standard that we don't keep ourselves to. We expect perfection, but yet none of us are perfect ourselves. I want to look at a passage here in verse number 19, and we're going to look at this verse this morning in Genesis chapter 50, verse number 19. After Jacob had passed their father, the brothers all of a sudden started to get a little bit nervous. Can I say this as they should be? A little nervous. The fact they waited till dad died to try to get things right was not the right spirit about it, yet in their own way, they... You ever have those people that say they're sorry but not say they're sorry? Try to get things right but really don't get it right. You're like, wait, you still kind of missed something there. Waited till dad died, and then they said, well, dad said you have to forgive us. After he died, he didn't say that. They said, so will you forgive us? Well, you're lying and asking for forgiveness, so it cancels out the forgiveness. Canceled out any good that was done. And so Joseph, after he heard that, he went out and wept. He went out and wept. His father passed, and his brothers now were in Egypt, and he had taken care of them during this famine. And Joseph had such an incredible perspective on God's will for his life. As you look at verse number 19... it says, and Joseph said unto them, his response to them was, fear not, for am I in the place of God? What a dangerous place when we put ourselves in the place of God. You've done that before, and I've done that before at times as well. Before we go and pass out our judgment, before we go to get even with others, we realize, am I in the place of God? But look at the next verse. Not only did he say, am I in the place of God? This was not for him to decide, but he said this, but as for you, ye thought evil against me, but God meant it unto good. How do you look at what had been now 40 years of his life? 17 years old, just about 40 years. He was approximately 56 years old at this time. How can you look at the past 40 years of your life to leave your home, to leave your country where he would never go again, to leave your father, which you would see a number of many years later, to see your brothers, to come back, and then to say this, but God meant it unto good. You know, that takes time, and that takes the right spirit of forgiveness to get to that place in your life. Things that have happened to you that, guess what, they just don't go away with a day, a week, a month, a year. But 40 years later, 40 decades later, he said, God meant it unto good. His perspective had changed. Were there moments where he struggled with this? I'm sure there was, because he was human. But Joseph walked with God, and he had a right spirit before the Lord. This all started in Genesis 37. He was 17 years old. And Joseph was there working in the fields, obeying his father, doing what his father asked him to do. And it started with his obedience to his father. He was loved by his father. And also, it was a dream that came from God. And maybe there was some favoritism from his father, and the brothers didn't like that. I don't know why they didn't like that. Children usually respond well to favoritism. Actually not. And then he had a dream that came from the Lord, and he told him the dream about how the sheaves would bow down to him, and that was representing his family, and the sun, moon, and stars would bow down and worship him. And they didn't take it so great that they were going to bow down to their brother someday. Again, I don't know how they didn't take that very well either. And so the Bible says that they hated their brother. They hated him. They sought to kill their own brother. He was out in the field, and they came out to him, and they saw him coming, and they said, "There he is. The dreamer cometh." They said, "Let's kill him." And one of the brothers spoke up and said, "Let's not kill him. Let's just throw him into a pit and sell him as a slave for the rest of his life." And they all said, "Great idea." And so they took him and they sold him as a slave. And can you imagine sitting in the pit listening to your brothers talking about killing you, talking about selling you as a slave? And they said, let's just leave him here. Let's kill him and say an animal killed him. But instead of that, their better idea was sell him as a slave and fake his death and bring it back to their father. Could you imagine doing that and watching their father mourn the rest of the days of his life until he'd see Joseph again? To see the sorrow and the pain they put their father through and never come clean with it, to never get it right till the time that their father died even. He was obedient, but then you see the evil from his brothers. They hated him. They mocked him, said, "Hey, behold, the dreamer cometh." This one that obeys dad, the one that is listening to God. Well, first of all, he was obeying his father. And yes, God did give him a dream, and they hated him even more from that. They envied him. They conspired against him. They sold him. They faked his death. The evil that was taking place to put Joseph where he was, you can't imagine from family. The evil from his brothers, and then we see the suffering that Joseph would go through. Sold as a slave and sold again to be a servant in Potiphar's house. And for the next 13 years, he would live as a slave, live as a prisoner, and live thinking about that moment in the pit. Could you imagine going back to that one time in your life that you could as well? The moment where somebody that was supposed to love you turned on you. Sold him, and he, I'm sure, thought about that many times, but yet kept a right spirit through it all. Can you imagine that? And for 13 years, it wasn't they came and got it right and he went back home and it was all good. First of all, it doesn't undo what was done, right? It wouldn't undo that anyway. As a slave in Potiphar's house and in prison, falsely accused for doing right. Forgotten about in the prison when you try to help someone and it seems that there's no one to help you. All of this, and that God would use Joseph and would raise him up as second in command in Egypt to help and to preserve food for those first 7 years, because the years of famine were going to come. And the moment came. Could you imagine that? Thinking about where you came from, thinking about that pit, thinking about being a slave, being in Potiphar's house, being in the prison. Finally, you get exalted, and think about the moment his brothers showed up. Could you imagine that? His brothers finally showed up, and he had all the power in his might to take him out. He had all the power in him to get even, and yet he didn't. He played a good game with them, if you will, and hiding things and accusing this and bring your brother and keeping one. And it came to the place where he finally reveals himself to his brothers. "I'm Joseph." Could you imagine their jaws just drop? "Are you kidding me? This actually happened. It's going to come back at some point. If you're that one and you thought we got away with it, no one's ever going to know." You're going to have that moment where you go, "Oops." And there's Joseph in front of you, forgotten about. Joseph said in this chapter, "Am I in the place of God?" Jacob had died, and the brothers now realized that their fate was in their brother's hand. And Joseph said, "Am I in the place of God?" Joseph had a couple of choices to make of how he was going to deal with this, and the same choices that you and I deal with today. Why? Because we're all going to deal with this sinful world. We're all going to deal with hurt. We're all going to deal with the effects of sin. Can I remind you of this? Don't blame God for people's sins. Don't blame God for your mistakes or for the mistakes of others, because God has given us a free will. You say, "Well, why wouldn't have God stopped them from doing that?" The same for you as well, because you have a free will to do right and to do wrong. And God is the judge of all the earth, and we are not in the place of God. But I want to look at a few choices that Joseph had today. In verse number 15, he had a couple choices that we look at today. In verse 15, when his brethren saw that their father was dead, And they thought, and they said, Joseph will peradventure hate us. You have an option when evil comes your way and when wrong has come your way, and there's no one exempt from being hurt by sin. There's no one being exempt from harm and horrible things that happen. The evil that man is capable of is unimaginable. The hurt and the pain that man is capable of doing is unimaginable. And Joseph, in this verse here, said by his brothers, and they said, Joseph will peradventure hate us. The first choice he had was this, to get bitter. He had the choice to get angry. He had the choice if he was going to hate his brothers for the rest of his life. Let me ask you this, what good would it have done? He said, oh, he could have gotten even with them. Well, that's the next point. Don't get ahead of me. But they said he could have hated them. He could have held on to this bitterness for the rest of his life, and he could have sent his brothers to be slaves for the rest of his life, couldn't he? And rightfully so. He could have sent them away and said, I'm going to lock you away so that you can experience what I went through. Would that make it better or worse? That'd make it worse, wouldn't it? And he could have chosen to hate, and they said, peradventure, he will hate us. He could have gotten bitter. There's a whole lot of people today walking around angry at the world because of what was done to them. And it's not excusing the wrong, but at some point you're going to have to make a choice in your life. Am I in the place of God? Do I get to choose that I get to stay bitter at this person for what happened to me for the rest of my life? You know what I think about is this. Horrible things do happen. If there's a horrible thing that happened, do I want to dwell on that one thing for the rest of my life? Not really. You know the one thing I'd love to do with that hurt that's happened in my life as well as in yours? I'd like to not ever think about it ever again. I'd like to put it away from me. But what some people do is they carry it around as a badge, not in a right way, but in a wrong way, to hold on to and say, this is the hurt that happened to me, and I'm now going to carry it around for the rest of my life, and I'm going to let everybody know about my hurt. I'm going to let everyone know about my pain that God allowed or someone put into my life, and I choose to hate and to get bitter. You have that choice in your life. Are you going to get bitter? Are you going to hate? Many times, those that hurt us the most are those that are closest to us. Many times, the deepest pain that happened, and it could have been 40 years ago, and they knew that any person other than probably Joseph would have chosen option one or option two. But Joseph decided, I'm not in the place of God. And Joseph decided, I want to let it go. I want to get rid of this pain, and I don't want this pain to hold me any longer. And not that Joseph was holding on to it, but they thought he must be holding on to this bitterness and this pain in his life. You have that choice to make. Are you holding on to that bitterness? Are you carrying around that pain as a badge, if you will, as that luggage that you carry around? You know, the bitterness that you carry around, it only gets heavier and heavier and bigger, and to the point where you can't carry it around any longer. But many times, the bitterness that we hold on to, that we hold against somebody else, we take that and we pass it along to others. We think, I hate that they hurt me so bad that I'm going to go and hurt everyone else around me. Can you tell me what sense that makes? What good does it take to get hurt and to go hurt others and say, now I'm justified because now I'm in the place of God? The book of Hebrews says, looking diligently lest any man fail of the grace of God. And I'll tell you this, that man will fail. God will never fail, but man will fail. You can count on those two things. God will never fail and man will fail. But it says this, lest any root of bitterness springing up trouble you, and thereby many be defiled. I don't know about you, but now is weed season, if you didn't notice it. As you look around, the weeds grow like you couldn't believe. And it's a great time to pull the weeds out because the ground is soft. But there's a time, if you don't pull the weed out when it's small, when it's young, and when it's tender, they will try to spring up. That bitterness is going to try to come up. But if you wait, and you wait to pull that weed out in August, you might as well get a pickaxe, an auger, a backhoe, or something to pull those weeds out because they're not coming out. Why? Because it's going to get harder and harder over time to get rid of that weed or to get rid of the bitterness in our lives. The Bible says lest any root of bitterness springing up trouble you. It's going to hurt others as well, but it's going to hurt you. And if you allow it to build up, have you ever thought in your life, I didn't know I was angry or holding some bitterness until someday it came out and I realized there was something I was holding in my life that I did not forgive about. It's going to spring up and trouble you, the Bible says, and it's going to trouble you the rest of your life if you allow it to. If you hold on to that hate, and the Bible says, and thereby many be defiled. You know what? I don't want to take that hurt that happened in my life and pass it to my family. I don't want to take the hurt that happened in my life and pass it to you and others around me. I don't want others to be defiled by that. I want to take that and I want to pull it up and get rid of it and say, I never want to see you again. You can get bitter. You can get angry. They said, maybe he will hate us. Peradventure, he will hate us. You continue on that verse and he said, and certainly will requite us all the evil which we did unto him. You can choose, if you want to be in the place of God, that you can get bitter. Number two, you can choose this, I can get even. You say, hey, I'm going to get rid of it, but I'm going to get even first. I'll be honest, sometimes it feels good to get even, doesn't it? Sometimes you think they cut me off, I'm going to go back at it as well, but you realize that it only turns to harm. I was driving down the freeway one day. We were going to the Oakland Zoo after a pastor's conference, and we're driving down the freeway, and this guy comes and cuts me off. And I think, what do you think you're doing? And I forget the events of what happened, but in the middle of traffic, he literally almost ran me into a divider as I slammed on my brakes and tried to avoid this crazy person on the road, and he went ahead, and I said, you know what? I don't want to try to get even anymore because it almost harmed my family. It almost hurt others around me. Again, you can get bitter and you can hold on to it. You can get even and say, I'll forgive, but not until I pay them back for all the wrong they did. We're going to get to it in a little bit, and you know it's coming that way. But if you won't forgive, you're not going to receive forgiveness as well. You can choose to get even and go and get back at somebody, but is it truly going to make you feel better about it? Are you truly going to feel justified? The Bible says that we should not hold aught against any. If you have something against your brother, that we shouldn't hold anything against anyone. Is there anything in your life you're holding against somebody? Something that happened in your life, and when this subject comes up, you think of a name. You think of a circumstance. You think of a place, and a hurt comes to your mind. Pain is not forgotten. I've got scars, as many do, scars on my knees, scars on my arms, scars in my head, as any boy does. Growing up, I decided one time I wanted to play soccer in a parking lot. Not only did I decide to play soccer in a parking lot with a friend, I wanted to slide and kick this ball wearing shorts. Why not? That sounded like a good decision. And when I did that, it slit my knee straight open and cut it open, and my mom freaked out, took me to the hospital, and got stitched up. You know what? I see the scar of where the pain once was, but it doesn't hurt anymore. I know that it's there. I remember when it happened, but there's no pain there. Why? Because it's gone. It's forgiven. You let it go. You can choose to get even. You can choose to get bitter. You can try to pay others back for the wrong that they've done, but I choose option three. They said, he's going to hate us. He's going to requite us all the evil we did. But instead, in verse number 20, he says, again, am I in the place of God? He says, fear not. He said, brothers, don't be afraid. I didn't bring you here to hurt you. I didn't bring you here to get even with you. He says, but as for you, ye thought evil against me. He's calling out sin for what it is. It doesn't excuse the sin. He says this, but God meant it unto good. Can you fathom that? Can you imagine 40 years of your life, 13 years in slavery and in prison, to come back and say, God meant this for good? How can God use something for good? Because he's God. You know, I'm not in the place of God to say of what should or shouldn't happen in my life, of what God allows or brings or what's done, but I can take what happens in my life, and I can ask for God to help to use it for good. And how do you do that? You have to forgive. You have to forgive. Are you going to hold on to it for the rest of your life? Are you going to always hold that against that one person and never let it go? He could choose to hate. He could choose to requite that and to pay back everything that they've ever done. Maybe they'd have to pay 13 years, but instead he said, but I choose to forgive. He said, I choose to let it go. Wipe the slate clean. I'm not going to charge you anything. You ever been there before? You went to a restaurant, you get your ticket there, and someone said, somebody already paid for it for you. And you went, who was that? Where did it go? You said, I had a bill that was to be paid. But no one's done that. If they've not done it before, just start taking your bill around to other tables and see if they want to pay it for you maybe. But you have a bill that's due, and they come and say it's paid. You're free. And you look around and say, I'd like to thank who did that for me. I'd like to ask when they're going out to eat again so I can follow next to them another time. But it was paid. It was wiped clean. You know, I'm thankful that God doesn't get even for the sin that we've done. Now, God does punish sin. God does not wipe it away. But I'm thankful as a Christian, when you get saved, the blood of Jesus washes away our sin. They're cast as far as the east is from the west, to the point where God says, I don't remember them anymore. Not because God forgets, but he chooses to forget and to forgive our sin. See, if we take the place of God and we choose to hate and we choose to hold it against them, then what could God do to us? See, because I can hurt other people and you could hurt me as well. Here's the thing though, no one has hurt me more than I've hurt God. No one has sinned more against me than I've sinned against God. Because here's the thing, the relationship between us is we're both sinners. We've all done wrong. But my relationship between me and God is I'm the sinner and God is perfect. And when God looks at me, and if anyone could hold anything against anyone, it would be God. Because he's perfect, because he's sinless. He could look at us and say, you're the reason my son died. You're the reason my son went to the cross and went to the grave for 3 days. You're the reason, but God chooses to forgive. He looks at you and says, you're forgiven. You're forgiven of what? Of everything. You're forgiven of everything. And we choose that we can hate others. Am I in the place of God to hate others when God doesn't hate me? That God loves me? That God forgives me? That God will forgive of all my trespasses, all my sins? I don't deserve that. You say, well, the person that wronged me doesn't deserve it. Well, neither did you. And neither do I deserve that forgiveness. I'm not in the place of God to where I can stay bitter. I'm not the one that can get even because I'm not in the place of God. If God were to make you pay for all the sins that you'd ever done, and you'd pay for that, we'd all be in a place called hell. We'd all have to pay because the wages of sin is death. And that's what the punishment of sin deserves. That's what I deserve. But as Joseph looked at his brother and said, I don't hate you. I'm not going to require that payment back for you. He freely gave something that they even asked in a wrong spirit. And he said, I forgive you. And he said, he meant it unto good. He forgave. The Bible says, when you stand praying, forgive. If you have aught against any, that your Father also, which is in heaven, may forgive you your trespasses. But if you do not forgive, neither will your Father, which is in heaven, forgive your trespasses. Be careful before you hold the grudge and require from somebody else, or God will not forgive your trespasses. You're heaping dirt upon your own head. If you go to dig the grave for someone else, you're throwing it on yourself, but it's coming back on you even worse if you don't forgive. I'm thankful the Bible says in Psalm 86, it says, for thou, Lord, art good and ready to forgive. He's ready to forgive. The Bible says, and plenteous and mercy unto all that call upon thee. Aren't you thankful when we come to God and say, God, forgive me? And God doesn't say, well, you're too bad of a sinner. I remember what you've done. I remember you asked forgiveness for that before. But God said he's ready to forgive. He's plenteous in mercy. Many times we're not so ready to forgive, and we kind of like give it out sparingly. And God said, I'm ready to forgive. I'm ready to forgive what you have come to me for. You, of course, know the passage, I'm sure, about Peter that came to the Lord and said, how many times do I have to forgive my brother? He didn't say sister, but he said his brother. Maybe there's something to that. I don't know. But he said, seven times? I mean, seven times, that's quite a bit. And Jesus said, 70 times seven is how many times you have to forgive. You know what? We have to forgive over and over and over and over again. You know why? Because God has forgiven us. over and over and over and over again. And when God could get even with us, when God could get bitter at us, God said he meant it unto good. But look at verse number 21 in this passage. He says, "Now therefore, fear ye not." Two times he says that. He said, not only am I going to not hate you, not only am I going to require something back from you, he says this, "but I will nourish you and your little ones." And he comforted them and spake kindly unto them. How do you treat those that have wronged you? Man, I'm going to get even with them, and I'm going to require back from them. And instead, Joseph said, "I'm going to take care of you because you're my brothers, because I love you. And I'm going to love you as God would want me to love you." And he said, "not only am I going to love you, but I'm going to love your little ones as well." And he spake kindly, and he nourished them. You have a choice to make. Are you in the place of God? Man, God, I'm justified in the bitterness that I hold against them. No, you're not. You're not justified in that. And if you think you are, then God or others could be justified to hold it against you as well. You can choose to get even. You can choose to get bitter. Or you can choose to forgive. What's your choice? As we conclude this morning, I want to ask you this. Number one is this: are you forgiven? You know, the best way to forgive is to realize that you have been forgiven of much. You see, when God has forgiven me of so much, how could I not in turn forgive others? And when you're saved by grace from all your sins, past, present, and future, you realize that when God has forgiven you, you can forgive others. And you may say, "well, what do I have to forgive people of?" Everything. Everything. You say, "but that's justifying their actions." No, it's not. It's freeing you from the bitterness to hold on to that for the rest of your life. Are you forgiven today? Do you know Jesus Christ as your Savior? Are you forgiven? Have you trusted Him by faith, through grace, in Jesus Christ alone? No works to get you to heaven. Works will not receive forgiveness. Just simple faith and belief in Jesus Christ, saying, "God, forgive me." Are you forgiven today? The next question is this: have you forgiven others? If I've been forgiven so much, how can I not forgive others? Is there a person that you're holding something against that you need to ask for forgiveness from them? Is there something where you've wronged the Lord and you need to ask forgiveness from God? If someone has asked you forgiveness, have you granted it? Or even, how about this, before it's even been asked, before it's even been required or brought before your attention, you'd say, "I've forgiven you already. It's clean. You're done. You're forgiven." Heads bowed and eyes closed, please, this morning. Aren't you thankful for the forgiveness of God? He is rich in mercy. He is ready to forgive unto all those that call upon His name. Are you forgiven today? Do you know Jesus Christ as your Savior? You think, "but you don't know what I've done." I don't, but God does. And the Bible says if we confess our sins, He is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. It doesn't matter what you've done or where you've been, God is willing and ready to forgive if you'll simply ask. If you don't know Christ as your Savior today, ask Him for forgiveness. Believe in Jesus Christ alone, that He died, was buried, and rose again to pay the punishment for your sin so you could have forgiveness. The next question is this: have you forgiven? Do you have aught, anything against anyone that you've not forgiven already? If you could choose to get bitter, and maybe you've chosen that, get it right with God. Maybe you've chosen to get even, get that right with God. Let's choose this today. Let's choose forgiveness.